Hi, this is Rabbi Fine, and together with Rabbi Bazak, we present to you the Dadding Podcast, Dadding being the art of being a dad. So join us as we discuss, we laugh, we experience what being a dad is all about, the Dadding Podcast. Welcome back to the Dadding Podcast. I am Rabbi Fine.
And I am Rabbi Bazak.
Right. Beautiful, we got it better this time. Two rabbis laughing meaningfully through the school day. Right, let's do the school run.
I actually don't know when I'm supposed to do that, by the way. You're indicating that like you're leaving space, but I actually didn't know I'm supposed to do it. So
we'll get there. Okay. Right, let's do the school run then. I think that is an apt metaphor for the school run, to be honest. Because the school run, really, you see the difference between two different types of children, right? Two types of parent. You've got the uber organized, total, like, I'm ready from 7 in the morning. It doesn't matter that we're only leaving at
that
8.
Has once happened to one of my children.
Really?
Yes, once. I once had a child who gets up, has got himself dressed and is organized in the morning, but I don't think anyone in our family is pretty much like that at all. Our kids are the disorganized family. Our kids are they've lost one shoe. I've got at least three. I've lost one shoe kids.
Okay, can I make an admission? You're a rabbi, so I'm going to confess. I think one of the most horrible practical jokes I ever played with my little brother growing up is, I don't know why, but I woke up at a ridiculous time in the morning it was just a one-off. I think it was like 4:30 or whatever, and he must have been 14 at the time. I totally regret this, what I'm telling you.
It's like a children process. It's like confession. Coming to Rosh Hashanah is good. It's a confession with another rabbi.
Yeah, forgive me, rabbi, for I've sinned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I actually woke him up at about 4:30 in the morning, and I told him it was time to get up. So
that's outrageous.
I know. So then he actually got up, bless him, and he got in the bar. He's still getting dressed for school. And I was like,
I did not realize it was dark outside. I guess in England.
No, it was the summer. It was summer. It was light. I can never give him that time back, to be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine he hasn't forgiven you to be honest, as well.
He probably hasn't.
No, no.
But as practical jokes go, it was relatively clean. And
So we don't need to do practical jokes in ours, because we've got, genuinely, like, there isn't a morning that goes past where I know where all the shoes are. There's not a morning. There's no. And it's very rare that it's, like, you know, and they could be anywhere. My wife always says, she goes, I'm trying to look for the shoe. And I'm like, I've got one shoe. She goes, well, where did you find the first shoe? And I said, I don't know why that matters. Why does it matter where I found the first shoe? The second shoe, she's like, where? Eventually I find the second shoe, you know, tucked under the mattress of the top bunk. Yeah, like, where was the first shoe? Downstairs. But why? And so you speak to the kid and you're like, I don't understand. Where did you, why can't you put your shoes in one place? Just put them by the door.
So I think this is the message of the school run. There are certain things that make total sense unless you're telling it to someone who has totally ignored them meanwhile. So in the middle of that school dash, they're trying to get out of the house. It's very logical that, yes, the night before they were supposed to put all the shoes by the door.
Yeah, totally reasonable.
Just totally is the wrong thing to say at that moment.
No, because it creates stress, and also you're rushing, the fact that your child doesn't want to wear that particular shirt, right? That particular shirt, or you know, the button doesn't do up on that sleeve. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because you're trying to explain logically to this child as you're rushing, but it doesn't actually, so the button doesn't do up because. It's okay, you'll cope with the button. No. He can't possibly. He has to have that particular shirt, that particular pair of trousers. He doesn't like wearing his coat today, but it's raining outside. You're going to catch a cold. No, I don't like wearing a coat. But come on, please, just put on your coat. We just need to put on your coat so we can get into the car so that we can go. No, he won't put on his coat under any circumstances. So then you're not negotiating with him. You're negotiating with him. Okay, will you put your coat, will you just hold your coat? No, I won't hold my coat. Can I put your coat in your bag? No, you can't put. Can I put your coat in a plastic bag? Okay, I'll put it in a plastic bag.
See, then you've got him off guard.
The plastic bag gets him off guard. So you've got that. And then you've got the two types of parents as well. You've got lots of kids. You've got the organized kids. Again, like I said, I'm sure Rabbi Fine with some of your kids. I'm sure that, but your son, some of your kids.
Oh, so you should know. At one point, my wife went to Israel for 4 days, which was lovely for her. But
which
I was
dangerous.
Well, I was left with 4 of the kids by myself.
That's what I mean, the danger.
Very much.
I don't mean anything dangerous in Israel. She'd be fine. It's the kids that I'm worried about.
So to her credit, I've got one of my daughters is tremendously organized, really, really impressive. And she basically became mummy. This is like, at the time, well, she must have been about 10. She made the school lunches. I have to say, phenomenal. Just brilliant.
That's amazing.
Brilliant.
Why would it be the father who's 30, whatever it is, making the school lunches? No, the 10-year-old girl can make them. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. How's everything going? Really good. She's taking the kids to the park. Yeah, taking the kids to the park. And what are you doing? I'm at home.
No.
I'm at home. Yeah. Who's taking the kids to the park? The 10-year-old. How many kids has she taken? Well, she took our kids, and she took next door neighbour's kids as well. She's got 12 kids with her in the park. Yeah, it's fine though, because she's made the sandwiches.
Israel, they're like super independent, right? Their kids are going to the army age 18, they better be independent by age 10. So we once saw, it was brilliant, just on the way to school, the kid must have been more than 6 or 7 years old, on the bus by themselves. Okay, that's not too rare. Not only that, they were sitting there on the bus, they were reading a book, was on the way to school by themselves, and they had a little bit of a briefcase there, and they were sipping a coffee. It's like a commute.
We've seen one for the video about that, but it was a joke. That could actually happen.
It was in Israel.
But you are clearly the early school parents.
Well, the truth is it depends if Rabbi Fi or Mrs. Fine is taking.
Does it stress you if they get to school late?
If I'm not going to do it, it doesn't stress me.
Right. If you're taking the kids to school.
If I'm taking, they can't be late. They can't be late. No.
Absolutely.
Not because I don't mind them missing out on a few minutes of education. I just can't feel like I'm late. Do you know? You have no idea what that feels like, right?
I have no idea. Literally no idea.
I can't. Even if it's like I told, the people who are like this will understand this. People who are not will just not. If you tell like a pizza place, I'm going to pick my pizza up at 5 o'clock. Like, why would he be late? You told him 5 o'clock.
Right.
It's not because of the food.
Right. See, with pizza, I wouldn't be stressed about it. I wouldn't be bothered about it. If I'm late, it's interesting. I am a little bit, but it's funnily enough, I am actually a little worried. I've been brought up in the United Synagogue background, and I actually am a little bit stressed about being late. Like, I like the kids to get to school on time. Because they get that, it's just I'm not very good at it. So you can imagine that's like quite stressful.
That's like
much worse. That's worse. Like a constant pressure.
Oh, that's worse.
It's like I'm really organised. I'm just very messy. Yeah. So I like being organised. I like being neat. Yeah. But I'm very messy. So I'm on constant pressure. It's like constant pressure.
So we've basically got three types of people, really. We've got the type of parent who gets there like way early. School starts at 8:30. Gates open at like 8:10. They're there 7:45, basically waiting. You know what I mean? Then you've got your parent who is, opens at 8:30. They ain't getting there anywhere near like 8:45 at best. And then you've got your parent who aspires to be the 7:45. And therefore, kind of grates on them that they're not, but actually they're 8:45.
Yeah. And then, to be honest, there's the 9:30 people. I'm going to be honest with you, we're sometimes those. Because my wife, bless her, is a genius educator, actually. She said she is a very big believer that if we are running late, there's two options. You can destroy your children. Yeah? By Gina! And like shoving their clothes on them, like as they're like screaming, yeah, and putting their shoe. You could do that. That's the one option. Or you could be a bit late. That was the other option, yeah, and not stress them out incredibly, yeah. So I go for the first one, and I'm like dragging them out by their trousers with their shirt half done up to try and get them there like just about on time. And she doesn't mind. She gets them a little bit late. It's not the end of the world. Like, you know, they misregister. Okay, they misregister, yeah? And no, they didn't just misregister, they missed the beginning, and do you know how much it stresses out the teacher? So we have a bit of a balance in our house, but it's a bit tricky. But then you have, beyond that, you have the journey to school.
You have the journey. Now, just that journey, are you ever breakfast in car?
Yeah, we
breakfast a la carte.
Yeah, we wouldn't mind breakfast a la carte. We don't mind breakfast a la carte. Yeah, we have a rotor car.
Not so. With milk, not cereal.
No, not cereal. No, what do they do? That's going to If they're going to have breakfast in the car, then they have like Cheerios.
Cereal bars. I in a bag.
Cereal bag.
Bag is organised already.
Bag's all right. Bag, cereal in a bag. But cereal in a bag never stays in the bag. That's the problem. The problem is it goes on the seat, and then it goes into the seat, and then it goes on the floor, and then it becomes crushed on the floor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got a
sedimentary rock.
You always have that embarrassing moment where you invite someone, but you're going to give someone a lift home. And as you realise you've offered them the lift, you realise you've taken the rotor car. The rotor car that looks like, you know, like the Cookie Monster has been killed and spread around the floor.
You can't even say excuse the mess because that just does it tremendous injustice.
It's like...
Yeah, and there's some cars that are basically breakfast bowls.
Yeah, it's a breakfast bowl. That is just without the milk.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the milk, because that makes all the difference. Because if it doesn't smell much, then it's okay. But then once you get into the car, then you've got the...
You're enclosed. I think that's the... You're enclosed.
They can't get out, but then you can't get out either, because now you have the battles. The battles of the car journey. You have who is sitting in the front seat today. And it's unbelievable the memory that these kids have. It's not normal. It really is not normal. You know, 2 weeks ago, on Tuesday, he went in the front and it wasn't his turn. I know, but now we've had the rotor since then, and you know that we've got the... And you try and grab the rotors.
Even if it's a new car, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't make a difference. New car, they don't understand things like that. They don't understand things like that. It is a case of... first of all, their sense of justice and their memory is unbelievable. Yeah. And then you've got the battles over the windows. Should the windows be open? Should the windows be closed?
Right. And by the way, if you're a window open person, it doesn't matter what the weather is. You are just the window open person. No, it could be hailing. It could be -20.
Yeah,
you're a window open person.
You've got the window open, and then you're English as well. So you go in someone else's car. You don't mind that. What the windows? As they're driving at 80 on the motorway, you're like, because you can't breathe. Yeah, because the air's coming. You're trying to hold on to your couple. Everything's flying. You're okay with the window. Yeah, I'm fine with the window open. There's no problem with the window open. It's all good. Yeah, all good. My kids are exactly the same. My kids actually, I've got some kids, and then. The best thing they've ever created is the lock on the windows. Do you have a lock on the windows in your car?
Yeah, but you can only operate from the front.
From the front.
I've actually got one of my cars has wind-up windows. Do you know that? Wind-up windows. Yeah, I know.
I once had, in Israel, the kids. I took the kids, I got the cheapest rental car I could get, obviously. Yeah, cheapest rental car. And it didn't actually have air conditioning, which is actually dangerous in Israel. It's beyond not nice.
Really?
It's actually dangerous. Yeah. So I decided, no, I'm wiping the windows. So the kids are like, it's so hot, we can't breathe. So I said, open the windows. They said, they can't. They said, this is true story. We can't find out how to open the window. I said, what do you mean, just open the windows? So I turned around, because you could do that in Israel when you're driving, it's fine, it's not a problem, And I said, just open the windows, and I started making the action of turning
the window.
And they started doing it, and they cracked up, they were literally crying and laughing. They've never seen it before. They've never seen a wind open window before. They were like, they were looking for the button, they couldn't see the button.
That's funny. Look, I mean, there is an opportunity, isn't there? Yeah. Just like we said in the mornings, you've got an opportunity to set the tone. So that is, I remember in my family or our car, there's an opportunity there. My dad actually taught me Anim Smirot in the car on the way to school.
Which is very efficient.
It is very efficient. It's lovely. We did like a line each day and eventually we got there. There is, if you can manage it.
There's loads of things you can do in terms of that. You could do, I know seeds sell party time Shabbat stuff. So you can learn the schools. The schools sometimes produce CDs, so they can learn the school songs. You can learn all the Pesach songs. You can learn. There's tons of stuff you can do for Seder night. You can do a whole preparation for Seder night. You can learn stories in the car. Yeah, there's loads of stuff you can do the car.
Yeah.
Very, very important.
A lot of stuff on. Are you a music kind of person in the car, or are you like a talk to each other, or like a don't talk to me kind of person?
I'm a don't talk to me.
There's a lot of creativity you can do in the car as well. Do you know this game where you can, like, it shouldn't be too obvious, but you look at someone, like, next to you in the traffic or whatever, and you basically have 3 to 5 seconds to see if you can make up a life for them?
I've never, ever in my life done that.
Really? Honestly. You, like, literally, like, this kind of person is based on the 5 seconds we spend going next to each other. It's quite creative for kids to try that. You can't be rude. You can't be dismissive. It's good. It's a great cat game on the coach as well.
That is very that's much better than I Spy.
Much better than
I Spy. I Spy can't deal with it.
No,
at that point,
the problem is...
I Spy, why? What's this? I think green or a G. Is it a green tree? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, my daughter does that, the youngest one. She just has no loyalty to the letter that she said it was. So I mean, I Spy something with a T, and the answer could be like windscreen wiper, and they say like, is it, after I've given up anything, yeah. The degree, is it windscreen? Yeah!
Right.
She said nothing wrong with that.
But if you haven't explained the rules properly.
Actually, yeah.
But your game seems much better anyway.
It is, it's very long.
You can really, so there really is an opportunity, and I actually feel it's more than that as well. That's an opportunity in the actual journal. You to actually utilise the time to actually make some, have some meaningful, if you're talking to people, you can have meaningful conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, it might actually be time to actually engage with your kids if you have a long journey. If you don't, I mean, I walk my kids to school because we live so close to school, and it's actually very, very useful time. Yeah, I've taught my kids how to stand up for themselves in school. I don't mean fight. I mean, I don't like giving them training lessons, but I mean the concept of being able to push someone away and say, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's not nice. No, I've taught them it on the way to school. I've listened to things that have happened during school on the way to school, not on the way home from school. That's never.
We'll talk about that later.
But yeah, exactly. But there's another thing, which is that it's very interesting. My wife makes the sandwiches in the morning, so she's making, because I've gone to school, obviously. Yeah. So she's making the sandwiches. Yeah. And I used to come home and she's making cheese toast. I'm like, seriously. Cheese, and this one's got cheese toast, and that one's got tuna, and that one's got salmon pate, and that one's got cheese. I'm like, yes, it's so inefficient. Just make them all the same sandwiches. Quick, easy, done. So she once said to me, listen, she said, school is actually really, really hard. Yeah, school, you've got kids aren't always the nicest people in the world, number one. Yeah, teachers sometimes have bad days. Head teachers sometimes have bad days. You're being measured in things that you might not be actually as good as other people at, yeah? Meaning there is actually a natural pressure on you to compete against people when you're actually not as good as them. You might be younger than them. You might not be as developed as them. And it's a narrow area of skills, and it's quite tough school. It can really wear you down. It can really wear you down. She said there's one point in the day, in their school day, where they see a message that mummy loves me, and that I am loved and that I am special. And that is when they open their lunchbox. Yeah. So we need to make sure as parents that we don't with it as wake-up time, but also when we're getting the kids to school, to make sure that they're going to school with the correct message. They're going to school with the message that mummy and daddy love you, that you're going to do the best you can, and that you're special. And all those messages can really be communicated in the car on the way to school, walking to school, and with your lunch, and with what you're doing at home in terms of what you're making them and experience for the rest of the day. So
that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Actually, know of a kid, it's a teenager, who used to put messages in their dad's briefcase when he went off to work. Not like, can you buy me this, can you get me this? But I like messages, like nice messages. Have a good day, you know, hope it goes well, hope the meetings go well.
So if we can find ways of doing that, and even if we can't find ways of doing that, if we can make sure that in the morning, when we're getting our kids to school, that they are energised as they need to be for school,
it has to be
that is, again, our job as a dad.
That's right. I think so. I think I heard the line that the temperature at home should be one of warm hearts and not hot heads. Have you heard that before?
Oh,
it's good, isn't it? You've been listening to the Dadding Podcast, Two Rabbis Laughing Meaningfully Through the School Day. Gary, our next episode is what happens after the school run. We're looking forward to that one. This Dadding Podcast was brought to you by Seed, providing life tools for Jewish families. For more information, for inspiration, for events, or just to get in touch, please visit our website www.seed.uk.net.